Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, asterisk on the host, Joey Burgoyne today, but the show is actually Brian Shackman. If you've been listening to the morning show, we've been doing Darting Across Connecticut. And over the past week, we were hyping up Plymouth and one of the interesting things in Plymouth, the Lock Museum. So Brian talked to the executive director and one of the volunteers over there at the Lock Museum. And it's just a fascinating place. And I thought, you know, that's a great segment for At Home in Connecticut. Something right here in our backyard. It's got great history. It's a great time for all. So I'm not really hosting. I'm just introducing the morning show host, Brian Shackman, talking with the Plymouth Lock Museum.
We are live here at the Eagle's Nest in Plymouth as part of Darting Across Connecticut. I just got my breakfast. I apologize to Jerry. I got to eat some of it while it's warm. I got the hash and eggs. They make the homemade corned beef hash. And I also got a side of Italian sausage, which they make here. And then Art insisted that he gives me the sausage gravy because it's a 40-year-old recipe. So I'm going to be toast for the 8 o'clock hour. But I want to welcome in Jerry Milne, who is a volunteer at the Lock Museum. And first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And you brought some toys.
Yes, I did.
So I want to take a step back. The Lock Museum, there's a history here. Why is there a Lock Museum in Plymouth, Connecticut?
It all starts with Eli Terry. That's why.
Is with that Terry of Terryville?
Of Terryville. Eli Terry was a clockmaker from South Windsor. He moved to Northbury, where Plymouth was called back in 1793, and he started making clocks. And at the time, the clocks, we're talking what we call grandfather clocks.
Right.
They were called tall case clocks, and they used wooden gears, which had to be hand-carved with a saw and a knife, and took forever to make a clock. And he figured out how to use water power, using a water wheel to power machines and jigs to make interchangeable gears. So he was able to mass produce these interchangeable gears. It was the birthplace of the American Industrial Revolution right here in Plymouth.
Get out.
He was the first one. It wasn't Eli Whitney. It was Eli Terry. So he's able to, he signs a contract to build 4,000 wooden geared clocks in 3 years. And everybody laughed at him because nobody thought he could be done.
And he made the number?
He did it. And he sold all the clocks, he became wealthy, and then he designed a shelf clock so that the ordinary people could buy a clock and have it on their mantle.
Huh.
And he got a patent for that. And then his son Eli Terry Jr. goes into the clock making business right down the street where the water wheel is today. And the water wheel's been restored. We're probably the only town in the country with a water wheel on Main Street. And he started making clocks, and then he started making locks, because the technology was very similar. Both use brass,
right.
Both use springs, and because there's always a need for locks due to human nature,
yep.
They say lock making is the world's second oldest profession. So he starts making locks, and eventually, over time, his son James Terry takes over and turns it into the Eagle Lock Company and becomes the powerhouse lock manufacturer in the United States. So Eagle Lock was the first lock maker in the United States. And the company keeps growing. Downtown Terryville, right down the street, over 1,000 people are employed there.
It was that big.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge.
So when did it go?
It went down. Well, most American manufacturing went down in the 70s, and it finally closed up in the mid-1970s. And the last owner of the company stole all the pension funds and fled to South America.
I can't believe you told me that. I mean, you showed me the news article that that is a real story, that he took the pension money and fled the country. And it obviously made a lot of lives
miserable. A lot of bitterness after that happened. But because there were so many people that lived in town and worked at the Eagle Lock Company, there were a lot of people who had lock collections, and they wanted to display them. So they raised some money, and they opened a storefront right down the street. They called it the Lock Museum of America. And then they raised more money to actually build a building. It's on Main Street across from the library called the Lock Museum of America. And it's all run by volunteers. It's the only lock museum in the country, one of only two that we know of in the world, the other being in Seoul, South Korea. And it focuses, we have 4,000-year-old Egyptian wooden locks. We
have, it's not just locks from here. It's actually
all over the world. All over the world. We have locks from the Renaissance, from castles.
So he's showing me something from 1610. You did bring some. By the way, we're talking to Jerry Milton, who's a volunteer at the Lock Museum, and honestly, a really strong town historian. You have a lock on a Ben and Jerry's pint.
Yep, yep. So nobody can steal your ice cream when you go to sleep at night.
You know what my kids would do? They would cut a knife into the into the pint. But that's great. We got to take some pictures of it. And then what is this one?
This is we also have the large collection of ornate hardware. Press the button.
Oh, that's like a doorbell. That's great.
These are doorbells made in New Britain in the late 1800s. We were the lock capital of the world was in central Connecticut between Sergeant Lock in Yale, Sergeant Lock in New Haven, Yale Lock in Stamford, Corbin Russman in New Britain,
yeah.
Corbin's Corners, that's where it comes from.
Huh, that's all lockmakers.
Yep, yep.
You know, I wanted to ask you about, because two questions. One is, do you get like random people who come in from like Tuscaloosa to
yes.
see it? I mean, like, tell us a little bit about the wide-ranging people who are out there on the lock-loving spectrum who come to visit.
We get people from all over the world, believe it or not. If you look at our guest book, all over the world, all over the country for sure. It's open by appointment. We used to have volunteers, seniors who were volunteers.
So there's no specific hours. So if somebody wants to come, they've come and like make an appointment?
Yes, yes. We have a website, lockmuseumofamerica.org. Call the president, Tom Hennessy. His phone number is on there. He'll meet you, give you a tour.
It's incredible. But do you do school stuff too?
Yes, in fact, in a couple of weeks, every sixth grader at the middle school, which is right up the street, it's a block from the museum, is going to play the escape room.
And I wanted to talk about that a little bit, too.
So the way it will work is that they come in waves of 20 kids at a time. 10 kids will play the escape room. The other 10 kids will go on a walking tour of historic Terryville. And then after an hour, they switch. And the first group goes out the back door, so they can't tell the answers to the first group. And then they walk back. And meanwhile, the second group of 20 kids is coming. So all day long, we have sixth graders walking down Main Street to play the escape room.
You know, I wanted to ask you about, because that's the way to really contemporize this, because maybe it's a little past its peak, but escape rooms are extremely popular, and because it's good group exercise, good team building, and very difficult, right? But who came up with the idea, and then who is the one who actually designed it?
My brother and sister-in-law went to Europe, and they told me they went to a place called an escape room where you had to open all these locks and solve puzzles and riddles to escape. And I said, we have a lock museum.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I asked the president of the museum if he'd be interested, and he said, sure. So it didn't lend itself to being locked in a room, so you have to solve a mystery instead. And it's based on an Egyptian theme, because we have the 4,000-year-old Egyptian wooden lock.
Right.
And so you have to solve a mystery, and you have to open dozens of locks using puzzles and riddles in the museum to find the pharaoh's treasure.
And we're talking with Jerry Milne with the Lock Museum, but I have to ask you, you've been here in town for some 40-something years. What is this whole Terryville-Plymouth thing?
It's the town of Plymouth because originally Plymouth was settled in the western part of the town, what's called Plymouth Center, and that's where the Plymouth Post Office is. And as industry grew in Terryville because of Eagle Lock and the water wheel, more people settled in Terryville, and more immigrants came into Terryville. So Terryville became more populous than Plymouth Center. But it's still the town of Plymouth. It's the Plymouth Town Hall. It's the Terryville High School.
Yeah.
It should be called the Plymouth High School, really.
There's some brand confusion
yes,
here.
Yes.
But there are people who are clearly proud of being from Terryville.
And they should be. It has a rich history. And Plymouth Center also has a rich history. Plymouth Center has the original town green, the First Congregational Church, the burying ground, Revolutionary War soldiers. This end of town, Terryville, is more Civil War and onward.
Well, I guess that there was a stop on the Underground Railroad here, too?
Yes.
Do you know anything about that?
Yes, we give tours. I give lantern tours in the fall. We tour the burying ground, which dates to 1746, and then we go across the street to the Underground Railroad house. And the owner, Kirk Ducharme, is very generous. He takes us down into the cellar. You can see the
secret. You can see the, like, the catacombs or whatever.
You can see the secret passageways. He takes you down there to see where they would have had these tunnels to escape.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And all these things I had no idea when I woke up this morning that existed. That's just amazing. Now, if people are listening, they want to maybe do the escape room or set up an appointment to see the museum, which is, you know, it's understated when you look outside, you go inside, and then there's all this stuff in there. Where can people go?
Go to lockmuseumofamerica.org.
Okay, lockmuseumofamerica.org. And what's the cost?
For the escape room?
No, even for a tour.
Oh, $5 for a tour. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, that's that's just to stay afloat because it's all volunteer-driven, right?
Yes, yes.
You guys should do a fundraiser or something. I just think it's so neat that this is here. I appreciate your time and your insight, Jerry, and thanks for sitting around at the Eagle's Nest for a little while before we got a chance to talk.
And it's
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Brian, thanks for that, and keep tuning in to Darting Across Connecticut with Brian Shackman. Where does the dart go? Where do we go? Stay tuned. We'll have all that information coming up right here on WTIC News Talk 1080 and all of the things going on right here at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080. Baseball season is heating up.
Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.